top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the midday news for today, Thursday, March 7th, in the headlines. Dominica Freedom Party leader Bernard Ito calls for political maturity in viewing democracy as a national issue,
local,
and not just a concern for individual parties.
The big stage.
CARICOM acknowledged on Wednesday that despite dedicating the past 3 days to address the situation in Haiti, no consensus has been achieved among the member states. And Nikki Haley ended her challenge to Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump, which now ensures Trump will be the GOP candidate in the rematch with Joe Biden in the November presidential elections.
Q95.
The news is brought to you compliments, Courts Dominica Limited.
Right on Q.
Enjoy sweet savings at Quartz with up to 40% off selected items. Save $850 on the LG 50-inch WebOS Smart LED TVs. Save $800 on the Mabe 19-cubic foot fridges. Save $1,400 on the Loris Living Room Suite and $450 on the Restonic Comfort Care Pillow Top Queen Mattress. Get what you need and pay now or later with Quartz Ready Finance. It's too sweet to resist. Indulge at Quartz. Bringing value home. Special conditions apply. Offer ends March 23rd, 2024.
Leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito, contends that a strong democratic nation relies on a robust electoral system. He highlighted the necessity for political maturity, urging a shift from viewing democracy as a partisan issue to recognizing it as a national concern. Ito underscored the importance of political leaders transcending partisan agendas to prioritize national interest.
The basis of a good democratic country is the electoral system. I mean, if that is amiss, if that is not working correctly, then you really do not have a democracy. And I think there needs to be enough political maturity to see that such a system is important as a national issue. It is not a matter of a party issue. And at some point, political parties, all political parties, and the leadership of those parties have to transcend those partisan ideas and look at, as a nation, as a state, what sort of mechanisms of state would make us a more sober, responsible, free and fair and democratic country. One has to have that ability to rise to the level of being a statesman, a stateswoman, to make the right, to build the right institutions, to build the right machinery that allows a country to operate as a mature, stable democracy. That is what we aspire to be, and that's all we're asking.
Ito emphasized that the Freedom Party advocates for a principle where individuals prioritize national interest over political affiliations. He urged for reforms in Dominica's electoral system to enhance its credibility on the global stage.
We are pushing the principle that says, let us be bigger than party, and let us build and fix and understand and reform our electoral systems as necessary to ensure that Dominica can be respected globally as a responsible democratic country, as a country that recognizes individual rights, as a country that recognizes that the state has a role to play to ensure an orderly but fair society. So that's the appeal there. It's more than just a political campaigning issue. This is really about how mature we are as a country, how mature we are as a people, how mature we are as a political, our politics is. You know, it's 40 plus years. How mature are we when it comes to the big questions of governance? How effective are we at governing ourselves? Again, to seek respectability in the eyes of the world and the eyes of ourselves, of course, and our citizens. And that is what electoral reform is all about.
And that was Bernard Ito, leader of the Dominica Freedom Party. Social scientist Simeon Joseph emphasizes the importance of fair resource distribution in discussions about good governance. He queries the current measures in place that do not ensure equal allocation of state resources, irrespective of political affiliations among the Dominican people. Joseph added that the perception of security across the board by the state is crucial for the Dominican people.
In terms of our understanding of the purpose of government, we can ask ourselves further, what about the equal distribution of resources, which is one of the main purposes of government? What has been implemented to ensure that according to our country, we have a system in place where we have equal distribution of Dominica's resources? Then again, we can say, do Dominicans feel that the state provides security to the people? And to what I mean, we know in ancient times, if we study the history of politics and governments, the kings and the queens and the oligarchy were supposed to provide things. But to some extent, when we think of our people feeling secure, have the policies that have been put in place from the different wings of government, does that regulate a certain amount of peace and security and encourage people to live to feel that they are healthy within their state, okay? Then what about the promotion of the rule of law, okay? This is the purpose of government.
Joseph raised additional questions about whether the government is evenly developing different sectors of the economy, such as health and education, to stop the escalation in Dominica's poverty levels.
And so when we talk about the purpose of the promote the rule of law, when we promote the rule of law, it inherently says that no one is above the law and that the government's role is to ensure that disputes and other things are resolved, whereby when the rule of law is enacted, people feel protected, that our communities are shaped, and that there is a fostering of the law. What about the delivery of essential services? I mean, when we look at our healthcare, our education system, our infrastructure, our social services, that's one of the purposes of government. Are these things being done equitably in our society to ensure that the poverty levels of our country, right, are not spiked, but that they are diminished to a certain level whereby people can take responsibility for themselves, when because they are provided things like clean water, adequate food, employment, and the government has put in place economic policies to promote development.
Social scientist Simeon Joseph. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit claims that the DLP administration has a track record in fulfilling its promises to the Dominican people as flawless, despite facing numerous challenges that could potentially hinder timely delivery. Skerrit emphasized that they are consistently delivering on their commitments. He underscored that the construction of the Thibault Primary School exemplifies the government's dedication to ensuring that the children of Dominica are provided with optimal opportunities for success.
Our record of delivering on the promises made to the people of Dominica is unimpeachable. As I always say, in some instances, it may take us some time because of the many challenges we grapple with as a small state. But when we say we are going to do something, you can be assured we will get it done, and we get it done here for the people of Cuba. The construction of the Thibault Primary School stands as a striking example of our commitment to provide the children of Dominica with the best opportunities for success. Today, we are not just laying the foundation stones for a building. We are paving the way for a brighter future for our children and for generations to come. This government, in close partnership with the People's Republic of China, have embarked on a monumental project to construct 6 new schools across our island, including this one here in Thibault. It builds on the significant work we have done in restoring our school structures since the passage of Hurricane Maria in 2017. I refer to the rehabilitation of Wharton Waven, Mount Prospero, Atkinson, Castlebrook, Dalis, Mount John, Concord, Warner, Bell, Woodfordale, Bend, Will Strathmore Stevens in Marigot, Salisbury Primary, Baroness Cotner, and a new school in Marlow.
Prime Minister Skerrit highlighted that the construction of 5 primary schools and 1 secondary school in Dominica signifies an investment exceeding $80 million, demonstrating a significant commitment to bolstering the nation's educational infrastructure.
We certainly could not have accomplished so much without the generous assistance of our many beneficiaries. And for this gift of education to our children across the island, we are eternally grateful, Your Excellency, to the government of China. In December, serious work got underway on the new Goodwill Secondary School, which will serve as a center for technical and vocational education when complete. Visit the site, as we've been told, and you have heard it, and you will see the structure already beginning to take shape. In similar fashion, work will soon begin at Kalibishi, Sineku, Tetmon, and Bellevue Chopin to also serve the children of Petit Sabah. These represent an investment of over $80 million. A substantial commitment to enhancing our educational infrastructure and a testament to our unwavering dedication to education as a cornerstone of national development and prosperity. Education, as we all know, is one of the most potent tools for national development. It is the key that unlocks the door to a world of opportunities. It is with this belief that we have spared no effort to ensure that our children receive the highest standard of education possible and have access to lifelong learning opportunities.
And that was Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit. The Housing Resilience and Financing Symposium is set to occur from March 13th to 14th for 2024 at the Goodwill Parish Hall. This event, organized jointly by the Ministry of Housing and the World Bank, aims to convene key stakeholders from various sectors, including housing, disaster risk management, climate resilience, and financing, to address challenges and promote collaboration in boosting housing resilience. With the primary goal of fostering collaboration and sharing experiences, the symposium will focus on three key objectives: enhancing resilience through knowledge exchange, fostering partnerships between the public and private sectors, and developing a roadmap for investments in disaster risk and climate resilience within the housing sectors. Discussions at the event will cover a range of topics such as challenges and opportunities in the housing resilience sector, regulatory frameworks for resilience, and financing mechanisms for climate resilience housing projects. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website. That's www.q95de.com. Dr. Irvin Andre reflected on the historical perspective of governance in Dominica, highlighting the era under the leadership of former Premier Edward Oliver LeBlanc. According to Dr. Andre, the Dominican people have first-hand experience of effective governance during LeBlanc's tenure, particularly noting his efforts in advancing various sectors of the economy, such as agricultural production, cultural advancement, as well as overall national development. Dr. Andre elaborated on LeBlanc's contributions, emphasizing how his leadership played a pivotal role in shaping Dominica's economic landscape and fostering overall progress.
We know from a historical perspective what good governance is. We don't need it to be defined. We've had the experience and the exposure and the benefits of the governance of Premier Edward Oliver LeBlanc. We saw how he marshaled the resources of the state and put it at the feet and at the behest of Dominicans, in terms of agricultural production, in terms of feeder roads, in terms of school opportunities, in terms of housing. So we know what good governance is. And that was continued with Mr. John in terms of the various housing communities which he built, in terms of ensuring that those who benefited from that housing received title for their homes. We know about their opportunities in terms of agriculture and so on. We know what the James administration achieved, their focus on education, their focus on scholarships, without extorting any favors from those who received those scholarships. We know about their expansion of agriculture. We know the criticism that they received for working two-part-two.
Dr. Andre stated that Dominicans can distinguish when governance deviates from true good governance standards. He opined that the regime does not meet Dominicans' expectations of effective governance.
We know what good governance is. So that is why we should know that what we have now is a complete travesty. Good governance is. And why should that be a surprise? Just bear in mind, a member, former member, former minister, once mocked Patrick John for saying that he was poor after leaving the reins of power in Dominica. Bear in mind, before Edward Oliver LeBlanc was lowered into his eternal rest, they were saying that they would not make the same mistake that he made, which is to leave governance in an impoverished state. So we know there's no mystery here. We understand through good people, energetic, visionary, altruistic persons like Delbert Parris and others and so on, persons who have a conscience, not just any person. That's why we're in this state. That is exactly why we're in this condition. But persons who have been nurtured on the bread of sacrifice, who've consumed the wine of honesty, who's been nurtured on a diet of wanting to serve the community, a diet which addresses or which honors the time-honored maxim that whatever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. In other news, CARICOM on Wednesday acknowledged the absence of consensus regarding Haiti's situation. Despite 3 days of discussions, President of Guyana and CARICOM Chairman Dr. Mohamed Irfan Ali expressed concerns over the complexity of Haiti's challenges, including political unrest and institutional dysfunction. He stressed the importance of Haitian-led solutions and the necessity for political consensus to stabilize security and humanitarian efforts. The escalating violence and humanitarian crisis in Haiti were emphasized, with Ali underlining the urgent need for international support. Despite ongoing meetings, achieving consensus among Haitian stakeholders remains crucial, Ali reiterated. CARICOM remains dedicated to addressing Haiti's crisis collectively. Concurrently, UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, urged swift deployment of the multinational security support mission into Haiti to address the escalating violence and prevent further chaos. Turk highlighted the dire humanitarian situation, citing the recent prison break and its impact on national security. Amid the crisis, Haiti has imposed a curfew and declared a state of emergency, with criminal gangs intensifying efforts to oust Prime Minister Dr. Ariel Henry. Despite international efforts, its stability persists, with rival factions vying for control. And Nikki Haley withdrew her unlikely challenge against Donald Trump for the Republican presidential nomination on Wednesday, ensuring Trump's candidacy against Democratic President Joe Biden in the November election. She exited the race after Trump's decisive victory on Super Tuesday, winning 14 out of 15 Republican nominating contests.
Time has now come to suspend my campaign.
Nikki Haley ended her long-shot bid for the Republican presidential nomination on Wednesday. The former South Carolina governor's decision to bow out of the contest ensures that former President Donald Trump will be the Republican Party's candidate in a November rematch with Democratic President Joe Biden. Haley made her announcement in Charleston, South Carolina, a day after Super Tuesday, when Trump beat her soundly in 14 of 15 Republican nominating contests.
I have no regrets.
Haley congratulated Trump on his victory, but unlike most of the other former Republican contenders to challenge the presumptive nominee, she pointedly declined to endorse him for now.
It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
It is noteworthy the number of voters that she is getting in some of these states. You know, sometimes it's a little bit closer to 40%. Maybe it's, you know, some states closer to 20. But that's a significant percentage of the Republican electorate that is already saying, yeah, I'm not still with Trump.
Lori Cox Hahn is a professor of political science at Chapman University. She says whether or not Haley's supporters decide to vote for Trump in the general election could be pivotal in a race that could come down to narrow margins in a few critical states.
I think that that is an indication that he seems to be underperforming in some of these states where some of the polls had him at going in. And so she has just been continuing to show that he is vulnerable.
This was an amazing night, an amazing day.
Donald Trump celebrated his victory Tuesday night with supporters in Florida. He repeated his campaign promises to better secure the southern border with Mexico and conduct mass deportations of those suspected of entering the country illegally. Throughout the campaign, he refused to debate Nikki Haley, frequently insulting her intelligence and Indian heritage.
That's the Meet the News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Dominica Freedom Party leader Bernard Ito calls for political maturity in viewing democracy as a national issue and not just a concern for individual parties.
Only on Q.
CARICOM acknowledged on Wednesday that despite dedicating the past 3 days to address the situation in Haiti, no consensus has been achieved among member states. And Nikki Haley ended her challenge to Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump, which now ensures Trump will be the GOP candidate in a rematch with Joe Biden in the November presidential elections.
Only on Q.
The news was brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
DA.
I am Felice Envalman.
Q. Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big thing.